This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to this station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
It is now 1 week since we celebrated Easter. May I ask you a very personal question? Can you feel the effect of the Easter message in your life today? We'll talk about that in a sermon. We ask you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that the Easter message might have been such an important event in our lives that all through this week we have felt that we were different people, that we know that we live with a living Savior who has promised to walk with us. So, O God, as we study your word today, we also ask that you will deepen our convictions and our commitment to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away. Kept a folded grave rose with our mourning lay.
Friends in Christ, again I ask, what effect did Easter have on you? For those of you who have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, did it really cause you to do some serious thinking about what a difference Christ's presence would make in your life if he lived there? I pray that it did, and that you have given the whole message much prayerful thought this week, and maybe you're ready to talk to somebody about it. If that be the case, then I would urge you to find your pastor or a good friend who knows the Savior in a very, very personal way and talk with him or her about what could change in your life if you really receive Christ as a risen Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't know something about him, for as a child you went to Sunday school, and Easter Sundays was usually a time when your family went to church. So you have the knowledge of what happened on that day, but it never did anything to your life. It didn't grab you. You can't say that you were different one Easter from another. But now if you see that you've gotten older, and you've given this more thought, and you have seen how empty life can be no matter how many of the material things that you have, that maybe the one you need is Jesus Christ. Well, if that is the effect of Easter, one week later, it was a marvelous day. And I hope you'll continue to live with him in his word and that you'll seek out somebody to help you in your relationship with him. But many of us who went to church last Sunday are confessing Christians, and we would be the first to say that Christ Jesus lives in our lives. Well, what effect has it been in your life these past few days? Have you found yourself drawn closer to him? Have you wanted to get into the Word just a little bit more? Have you picked up a good book on the resurrection and began to read it? Have you discussed it with some friends who are perhaps a little bit further along in their Christian life than you, and you want to know what you can expect in the days ahead? Well, let's notice what Easter did for two men by the name of Peter and John. Now it's more than a week later. Pentecost has come and gone, so it's at least 60 days, more than that, after Christ had been raised from the dead. But Peter and John were going up into the temple to pray. And as they got there, there was a man sitting by the door. He was collecting money, trying to get a few pennies that would help him to keep body and soul together. The man had been a cripple from his birth. And when Peter went by, he said, "Silver and gold we have none, but what we have we will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And the man got up and walked. Now the people in the courtyard that day had been used to seeing this man sitting at the door asking for some money. But now they saw him walking among them, and they cried out, "Well, how did this all happen?" And then probably somebody gave them the advice, "Well, you see those two men over there?" And they pointed to Peter and John. They were the men who did it. And so they asked these two men how it all happened, and they made it very clear to them that it was not their power, but that it was the power of Jesus Christ working in their lives. Finally, that report got to the high priest and all the rest of them. And so here is the account in the fourth chapter of Acts. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is a stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And then when the high priest and the elders saw all that had happened, they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there before them, there was nothing they could say, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with them?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the disciples, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. Now notice this. Here is Peter who denied him on the Thursday before he was crucified on the Friday. And Peter said, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and done." And then later on he said, "We must obey God rather than man." You see, they could put him in jail. They could beat them. But something had happened, especially on Easter, when they saw that Christ alive. Now they began to understand that salvation is found in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Well, of course, they went back into jail more than once, and history tells us that because he continued to proclaim it, Peter died as a martyr, and John lived in exile. Stop and look. We must obey God rather than man. That is a fruit of Easter. That is what should be deepened in the faith of those of us who claim the resurrected Lord as our Savior. And that is the question that you who do not believe in him should be contemplating if you're interested in bringing him into your life. Time magazine shows a picture of our day, and it shows what's going on and how empty it really is. It says, for more than 35 years, Gallup has polled Americans about levels of trust in their institution. Congress, banks, big business, public schools, and so forth are being evaluated. In 2008, nearly every single institution was at an all-time low. Banks were trusted by just 32% of the populace, down from more than 50% in 2004. Newspapers down to 24% from slightly below 40% at the start of the decade. And Congress was the least trusted institution of all, with only 12% of Americans expressing confidence in it. Every year, Richard Edelman conducts a trust barometer across 22 countries in which he surveys only highly earning, media-attentive people. In the United States, these people show extremely low levels of trust in government and business alike. Big business and unions, Congress and Wall Street, organized religions and sciences are all viewed today with great skepticism. Edelman says, "I am not surprised that people doing unexamined things do bad things." What does it mean? Does it not mean that there is something here that we have to try to correct? We can't correct it ourselves. Does it not mean that God has got to go to work in our lives? Does it not mean that we have to have a God who is living, who has come forth from the tomb, and is the one who wants to guide and direct us along life's way? And so we take a look at the effect of Easter on you and me today. The people who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can say that I don't know if there's anything in it, and I cannot really bother myself about it. But yet there is a lingering, perhaps, in their hearts, too. Those of us who claim Jesus Christ as the resurrected Lord might have been in the same worship service with that unbeliever on Easter Day. Now, here's a person that you know quite well. It would not really cause him a great deal of grief if you really laid the whole matter on the line. What if you went to him and said, Pete, I saw you in church Easter Sunday. So good to see you there. Hope you will come back again. May I ask you, Pete, what did you do? Or what did you think of the message that was proclaimed? Have you thought about this whole matter that as our world sometimes feels like it's falling apart, that we need something? Was your going to church on Easter Sunday more than just pleasing your family, but there was deeply in your heart something that you needed that was greater than could be found on the outside? If there's ever anything that I can do for you, Pete, don't hesitate to call me, because I can tell you what has happened in my life knowing a resurrected Lord. Is that the kind of a commitment that we have seen growing inside of us if we are believers in Jesus Christ? Are we saying that we claim him in a greater way, that our faith is increasing, that our commitment is increasing, that we are more motivated to talk to others about him? Have we come to that place where we can say with great conviction, no matter what happens, I need to obey God rather than man? I need to share that word of salvation with others in a very, very pointed way. There's a passage in Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7 that tells about a father teaching his child what the Word of God has to say about life and about how God wants to draw close to us, become a part of your conviction, and you see how you might be letting your children down by never talking to them about Christ, never revealing to them that he is the crucified but the resurrected Lord. Never your son or your daughter ever sees you as a father or a mother really trusting in Christ. Well, maybe then, if Easter has done that for you, it has been more than just an ordinary day, with the getting together of loved ones, family, and friends, but it has given you a chance to really speak out to this world who needs to hear this message of salvation. In this world that we live, we need to have this spirit. I must obey God rather than man. The temptations are always with us, but a resurrected Lord who walks with us can empower us to say, God's word speak, and I must obey God rather than man. Where we fall and follow the crowd, if we will repent and turn to Christ, we will be forgiven. That is exactly what happened to Peter in the night that Jesus was betrayed. He fell. You would have thought that Jesus would have discarded him forever, but such was not the case. He wanted to get to that man, and he finally saw him on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and dealt with him as one who could be changed. That's true with you and with me. We are not always the best witness. We are not always the one who points people to Jesus Christ. We are quite often just the opposite. But if Easter this past week has really worked a change in us, then God is willing to use you in a very, very important way. How if we will only spread this message wherever we go, things will be entirely different. Maybe there's something that says to you today, well, I'm a youth, and I just happened to be going across the dial, and I thought I would listen once again to what this Christian message was all about. Does it still have some help for me? You know, I've done a lot of things wrong. I slept with my boyfriend, and I knew that it was wrong. But all I could think of was, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus would say that it is wrong. Is there any hope for me? Because he has been raised from the dead, he whispers in your ear, if you repent and trust me, I'll forgive you and go on your way. Or you might be a young lady or a young man who has had something to do with the pregnancy of the young lady. And you decide, well, the child is coming and we have to have an abortion. And so you went in and had the abortion. And now you hear so much about this that it is so wrong. Is there any hope for me? Is my life simply cut off? Can God not use me anymore? Because of Easter, the message is different. He does not condone what you did. He does not condone the abortion. But he loves you. And he knows what your nature is. And he will be willing to forgive you. That's when Easter has had a real mark in your life. So you see, if you've grown up now from those days when you were little and you read the story or you heard somebody tell it, now I want to tell you this. It is a story, a wonderful story for boys and girls to hear. But it's more than a story. It's a truth. For regardless of what our sins are, a denial of the Lord Jesus, some particular behavior that we have gone through that is so wrong, he will forgive you. He will walk with you. He is the living Lord. Take it with you. And not only on Easter, but every day, get into your Bible and see what a blessed life you will live when you live it not alone, but you have heard the message, Christ is alive, he lives. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been
Father in heaven, we pray that that great word from you may really bear fruit in our lives, that we may hear you say, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will be your Lord. I will be your God. I will take you by the right hand and go with you all the way." As we sit and listen to what is going on in our world, no matter what our age may be, we can become quite disheartened. Though there are things that are exciting and we rejoice in, we realize beneath it all, there is a sinfulness of the human being. And so we thank you that we have gone through another Lent, and that we have seen the crucified Savior who has paid the price for our sins. But God, above all, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is not the dead martyr, but the living Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's sermon will provide you with a firm foundation for the week ahead. Spring is a wonderful time to renew your commitment to the causes and organizations you support. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry fully funded by gifts from our generous listeners. By contributing to this ministry, you're helping to bring the gospel message to thousands of listeners across the country who may not have the opportunity to hear it otherwise. Now, if you can, please consider a tax-deductible donation to Christian Crusaders. Please direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. For your convenience, we also are able to accept credit card donations over the phone. Call toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to hear it again, you can log on to our website at christiancrusaders.org. This program, along with hundreds of others, is available to be read or heard online anytime. Besides our sermon archives, you can also enjoy a daily devotion, faith links, informational slideshows, an online store, and more. That address again is christiancrusaders.org. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. Again, that's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.